And so we'll get. Right to it. Much needed rest on last night. So I thank you guys for understanding that. And I pray it didn't hinder you in any way. But amen. I'm going to go ahead and get started. We are now at the in the full revelation, or not the full, but we're at the entry point of the revelation of the post in the series here. And so this is where the Lord begins to open up the eyes of our understanding concerning how to really, I believe, live in a place of authentic faith. And part 7 is titled, The Power of Faith is Found at the Post. Faith is most definitely power. With it, Jesus said, we can do all things. We can move mountains. We can say unto the sycamore trees. We can speak to atmospheres, climates. We can speak to circumstances and situations. We can even speak to our physical beings and others. And by that faith, by that connection, we can see miracles. Amen. We can change our lives. We can change our worlds for the better. We can live, thy kingdom come, his will be done right here on earth. It's possible. And it's through the message of, I believe, of authentic faith that we've come into, that is really causing not just an opportunity, but causing these things to transpire. We're beyond just having an opportunity. And when we live in the now of what we're learning, when we live in now faith, this now understanding, I'm telling you, things will change. They don't have a choice because there's power in it. And so tonight we're going to go back and rediscover the power, the faith that flows from the post. Faith, we learned, is the truthfulness of God. The area that we're looking at now for the definition of faith now is character of one who can be relied on. That's another definition. Character of one who can be relied on. That's faith. So imagine transitioning into the character of Christ. That is where the power is. It lies in his character. That's where all of the essence and the flow of God's, I mean, his abilities come from out of his character. Of course, his character is wrapped in love without question, but it's the character of one that can be relied on. And who better can be relied on than Jesus, who lived for 33 and a half or so years, never failed, never sinned. We could rely on him to go to the cross, and he did, and die for our sins and reconcile us unto the Father. The character of Christ is the one who can be relied on. So when you put that character on, there's power.
Amen.
The word character itself means personality. It means nature or disposition. The word that we, that our operative word, the one that we've chosen mostly, is temperament or makeup. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 36, it says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. My goodness, that is the truth. All they that hate me love death. And we learned just on the last meeting that we had that instruction means chastisement, reproof, restraint, correction, and discipline. Now, all these definitions kind of point to the exchange of our temperament for his. In the midst of chastisement, in the midst of reproof, in the midst of restraint, in the midst of correction, and in the midst of discipline, there's an exchange made at the post. There's an exchange that takes place that's wonderful, that as he's smoothly chastening or smoothly reproving or restraining, correcting and disciplining, there is an exchange. And when that exchange comes, you're going to see today again, and God's going to frame it out in your spirit, that there is now, you're in a position of power. when that exchange is made at the post. Post, you all, we all know, means the moving creatures, which we all know makes up of man, ox, eagle, and lion. It makes up the four temperaments or four personality traits of the Father and Son. And this is where, when that exchange is made, you feel this wonderful ease. And I'm just going to make it plain. You feel this wonderful ease take over you. You feel this wonderful peace. You feel like you're able to continue going, even more so. You feel like you're going to win. In fact, you know you're going to win. When the exchange is truly made, the fear becomes absolute authentic faith. The doubt becomes, absolute belief and courage. There really is an exchange, and it's within that exchange, there is great power. There is great power here, because faith is power and has power. Amen. And so now, so we know that the post means, and we went over that already, so we're going to skip ahead and talk about power at the post revealed. Again, the word faith means the truthfulness of God. Or in tonight's study, we're going to look at the definition that reads the character of one who can be relied on. The power of faith is found in his character. Here's a note. Remember, one of the definitions of character is temperament, mind, which means mind, spirit, or mood. Mood, that's so powerful. That when you get the mood of God, the temperament of God is made up of his mood. It's also made up of his frame of mind. And what I noticed there, his frame of mind actually means glory. Oh. So now the temperament, it has the glory already in it. The manifestation of your perfecting your situation, which is in the Greek means doxa, which means glory. The temperament carries the glory because it does put you in his frame of mind. That's why we come into a place of absolute peace. We come into this place of absolute, serenity. It's wonderful. And so we touch this mood or this frame of mind, and we got to notice that when that happens, we are in the place, oh my goodness, we're in the place of power. We're in the place of power. And we're going to look at a couple of examples in this. So when you're at this post, his character revealed, his frame of mind, you really become one with his spirit. This is true, that the true connection needed to move mountains, both inwardly and outwardly. This is that right connection that's needed. And it's all about your awareness. My wife always says, be aware of your surroundings. Well, I'm telling you, be aware of when you're in the temperament of the Lord. Because if you're not focused on the fact that you're there in his temperament, you're not really tapping into the source of where his power is or where the glory is. See, God's frame of mind is not you having a scripture for your problem. God's frame of mind is God's, more than that, it's his mood. It's how he really feels. If he's lying on it, then let him be lying. If he's eagle, then he's got vision. He's moving. If he's ox, then that's his frame of mind. That's his move, just moving forward. If he's man and he's weak and that's what he's revealing, then so be it. But in any one of those postures, you're going to find his power. You're going to find it. Amen. And you can pull virtue from it. I've done it on so many occasions. Times when the enemy's trying to beat me, when I'm in my sleep, in my thinking, and trying to really, really cause me to come into a place of absolute panic or turmoil because of situations that need to be dealt with. Man, the moment his temperament comes, by way of that rhema word, by way of getting to that post, all those things dissipate. Those are absolute miracles. People have gone into mental institutions because of situations they couldn't shake in their minds. But how fast God moves when he exchanges temperament. How fast the power of God is on the scene. Well, that same power source is available in anything you might be facing. All right, So here we go. Let's look at this. We're going to look at James. We're going to stay in James here. All right. It says here in James, oh man, it's going to get good. It's going to get so good too. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Watch this now. The prayer of faith. Watch what the prayer of faith does. It saves the sick. There's a comma after that. And the Lord shall raise him up. Bidirectional. Amen. Because at the post, it's bidirectional. There's salvation here. And then there's what we call outward success. It says it'll save the sick, that prayer of faith, authentic faith. I wish I could ask the Lord to read. Let me add that to it. The prayer of authentic faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Amen. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. More salvation there. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for another, for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. If you see a righteous man, you know he's a man in faith as well, because that's what reveals your righteousness is faith. A righteous man availeth much. Powerful, powerful word right there. Boy, how many times we've called the elders together around the altar to pray over folks, and we call who we feel is an elder and to pray and to cast out devils. I sat in so many services that went for hours. Demons didn't move and healing never manifested. Because we're calling on elders who let me tell you, age doesn't constitute you being an elder. No, not the age. The age in the spirit, maybe, but not your age in terms of how your numeric number on your back or on your life. It doesn't make a difference. An elder is one. Let me tell you what a real elder is. An elder is one that has grown with God. And in fact, this is what the Lord, he really, really shortened it for me. He told me an elder is one that can tap in and really go to the post and make that exchange of temperament. It's that prayer from his temperament that will bring salvation. Because if you put on his temperament, watch this. That means he's already been reproving you and you're already in agreement with him. So okay. You're being saved. And then healing is coming into your life too.
Amen.
And so what makes an elder is one that understands how to really go to the post and how to really walk in Christ.
Amen.
That's what makes an elder, one that really can connect and allow the Lord to really flow through him. So watch this. If I'm an elder, and my God, I used to love how my wife and I used to pray for folks. And when we counsel them, people would want to get counseled and delivered and healed from situations. But the Lord would always cause a prophetess in myself to look inwardly to them and find out what was wrong with them. Not being sticklers or people that are just over religious, but God always had us discern. And I shared this with you when I first shared this message. God would always have us discern where they were and where they were missing it in terms of salvation. Then we would pray for them and deliverance would come. God would save and deliver. Amen. Our faith was already moving in a bi-directional way. And it wasn't because we had a revelation of the post, because we didn't. But we did. What we did was have a revelation of letting Jesus do whatever he wanted to do in our lives. So in essence, it was a revelation of the post without the post. Because we were allowing him to do everything he ever wanted to do. And so that prayer, our prayer of faith became different from somebody that could quote a scripture, lay hands, and think they're doing something. We were really coming from temperament. Now with the understanding of it, my goodness, I'll never pray outside of the prayer of faith again. I don't even pray any situation in my life outside of the real prayer of faith, which is being in the temperament. Somebody say amen if you can hear me.
Amen. Amen.
I will never, and you should never pray outside of his temperament. It's a waste of time. Kurt has taught so many times on being in the postures prior to prayer, having a propitiated mind. God has revealed this to us. Now he's just reduced it. Lowest common denominator is having on the temperament of the Lord as a result of being in fellowship with him.
Amen.
So now the prayer of faith is really someone that taps into temperament. Someone that knows about that post experience, that is open to God reproving and correcting them. And they're receiving it. They're not shunning it. And they're taking on his attitude, his frame of mind in the midst when they want to be angry, or in the midst when they want to go left field. They're taking on his, they know how to shift into his temperament. That's an elder.
Amen.
That's an elder. My 12-year-old son can be constituted as an elder if he masters this. Jesus was 12 teaching in the temples.
Amen.
Under his father's temperament, doing his father's will. He said, what do I have to do? His mama came back for him. He said, what do I have to do with you, woman? No, you wist you not that I got to be about my father's business. I've got nothing to do with you right now. I'm not in the temperament of a 12-year-old boy right now. I'm in the temperament of my father doing what he wants me to do. So age has nothing to do with this. Timothy was 16 years old and he was pastoring the church. That Timothy, those books of Timothy, he was 16 years old and was Paul's protege, doing what he was called to do. Age has nothing to do with it. Everything to do with it is your fellowship with Alpha and Omega, coming into the temperament of the Lord. So the prayer of faith comes out of temperament, and it saves and raises. Amen.
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 All right. So now there's power, is what I'm telling you here. There's power at the post. The writer tells us here again, in James tells us again, and the prayer of faith coming out of who? That elder shall save the sick. There's power, and the Lord shall raise him up and heal him. That's power being found at the post, being found in the temperament of the Lord. So here's your note. The Bible calls for elders. Elders aren't just elders because of their age. Elders become elders in the kingdom because they are advanced in life, Zoe life, that is. They have been carved out in the temperament of the Lord. They've learned while waiting at the post of his doors. They have put on Christ. The prayer of faith is a prayer that moves bi-directionally. That's the key. How many times we can't move a mountain in someone's life because we're praying in a unidirectional way. We're only looking for healing, but the prayer of faith calls for salvation and healing.
Yes.
It's a prayer prayed that gets results both inwardly and outwardly. Salvation and healing take place. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. There's a comma after save, which we already discussed. There's a comma after save the sick. It reveals the prayer of faith being both salvation and healing, which we call success. The only way someone can pray that the true prayer of faith is by being trained at the post in the temperament of Christ. I know you can feel it because I feel it. I know you're tapping into a source of power even right now. You're finding the place where power really is, where results are going to come. Omega will show up. The word false, watch this. It says here, I'm just taking my time in this here. It says, confess your faults. Watch this. Verse 16 is saying what verse 15 said all over again. It's saying what verse 14 and 15 said. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for another that you may be healed. All right. So it talks about confessing faults. And here's what faults are. It's reiterating, get to salvation. The word fault means a lapse or deviation from the truth. If there's a lapse or deviations from the truth, watch this. Watch this here, guys. Watch this. There's a lapse and deviation from faith. Faith is the truthfulness of God.
Amen.
So if there's a lapse or deviation from the truth, that person has actually deviated from a place of faith, or we can call it a place of temperament. Let's find out where they walked in and they got back into themselves. Let's get to the root of this problem so then we can pray and bring healing. He was teaching bi-directional here. He was teaching for elders, the mature ones, the ones that have been with him, to know in your own experience, does he ever just heal you? Nah, there's usually some salvation before healing.
Amen.
There's usually something he corrects you about. Then all of a sudden, hey, glory be to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Then all of a sudden, healing begins. Before he healed me of that depression, before he took it away from me, he revealed it first. And I said, amen. Then he raised me from it. But he revealed where I was wrong and where depression was coming through. I got salvation and healing.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So in essence, guys, we have been trained wrongly in just attacking the outward problem we see or hear about. But truth told, you must have the Lord's frame of mind on the situation. Note says here, most sickness and hardships is because of a lapse or deviation from the truth. Men and women of God that wait for him at the post have the true faith of God to bring salvation and healing because we know the experience there. Blessed are they that are there watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, waiting for this experience, for correction and healing. I could call it direct correction and direction because that's what comes at the post.
Amen.
That's what comes there. There's power here at the post. Some of you need to tap into it right now. Some of you have the ability through what you're hearing to change someone else's circumstance, to bring deliverance to them. There's power at the post. Now, power revealed through earnest prayer. Earnest prayer is a place, not a vain repetition. We're going to stay in James. We're going to stay right in James. We're going to pick up, in fact, the next verse down. James 5, 17 through 20. Elijah, it says Elias, but we all know that's Elijah. All right, listen up now. This is going to really get good to you. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not, thank you, Holy Ghost, on the earth. Somebody lift your hands and receive. Right now you have an utterance. It is an utterance. Someone on this line has an utterance to speak to a circumstance. You're standing right where you belong. You're right where you belong. You're in the temperament of the Lord, and faith will be heard out of your mouth. Now just take a moment and speak over this situation that you're facing. And it's been trying to tear you down a bit, but God has repositioned you. You're in his frame of mind right now. You're right where you belong. Now speak to it. Speak right this moment to it. Ah, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's a roar in your spirit. There's a bit of lion in you right now. Jesus. Because the enemy was trying to camouflage your position. You're in him. And he was camouflaging. Couldn't see it. But now your eyes are open to it. You're seeing it and you're there. Yep. Go ahead and roar just for a minute more. Sandalo kofalia no ki Maria Toriki Stanya Nai Koro di Baba. Hey God, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, I pick up at verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. I'm going to bold that out right in front of you. He prayed earnestly. That's a word we're going to look at in a minute. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Dude prayed earnestly. You might remember this from when we taught it. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, here's the moral of the story. Here's what you need to know. If any of you do err from the truth, there it is, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And here we go. He prayed earnestly, but then he goes in to what he's trying to convey, that this guy, Elijah, was in the truth. He was in the truth. He was living there. This guy, Elijah, by the definition of earnestly, the word earnestly means a place set apart or suited for the offering of prayer. He was in a place. What does that speak to you? It speaks to me, temperament. He was in the right place. His earnest prayer was not vain repetition. His earnest prayer, because he found a place. I believe Psalms would call it the secret place of the Most High. He found it. And because he found the earnest place, his prayer, he was able to offer prayer. Yeah. He was suited to pray. God would hear him.
Amen.
God would then move. Why? Because Elijah was in a place, and he's telling you here, if any of you do err from the truth, make sure you recognize it. Get him back on course. Why? Because anybody outside of truth or anybody outside of the place of temperament won't get it done. You won't get it done. You'll save and convert the sinner from the error of his way. That means more than just the sin he's in. Ultimately, you'll save a soul from death. You'll get this guy back on track. Get him under the place where Elijah prayed from, the place of being in earnesty or in the place in God. He found the right position. He was in the right posture. He was in the right temperament.
Hallelujah, God.
Earnest prayer is not doing it daily. That's not earnest prayer. Because you do it daily doesn't mean it's earnest. Earnest prayer finds their position, their place, that they are set apart, and now it's suited. Your prayer is suited. It's acceptable. That's power at the post. This man prayed, doesn't say earnestly, meaning over and over and over. No, 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 no. He found the right position that it might not rain. He shut it down for 3.5 years because he was in the right place praying. He was in the right place. Then he said, it makes it in 18, makes it seem like he did it so easily. Okay, the earth's had enough. They've had enough of this famine. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Doesn't even see, there's no sweat, no walk in the floor. It just, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I believe the scripture here describes there was no clouds for 3.5 years. When he prayed, right when he was done praying, the Bible says there was a cloud the size of a man's hand, and that started formulating. The size of a man's hand. Oh, there's revelation in that, boy. And the earth, the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There's power at the post. You enter into earnest prayer at the post. You enter into where this man shut the heavens up for 3.5 years. powerful. There is power at the post. You just got to recognize when you are there and the transition is on you. I recognize it throughout the day now. I go throughout my day. And before I say anything that has to deal with faith or the supernatural, I discern the temperament of the Lord that's on me. I purposely, before I say anything, I discern his temperament because I know when I open my mouth, it's really in authentic faith. Hey, glory be to God. What a blessing that is.
Yes, it is.
What a blessing that is. I used to just say things because that's what the Bible said. And you could feel yourself trying to force what's being said. But when you discern temperament and just say it like that, the Bible says, and he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. Sweatless. Why? Because he found his place. Found the temperament. How do I know he found the temperament? Okay, let's look a little bit more. Here's your note. Elijah's earnest prayer was actually a place he was in that was suited for the offering of prayer. He found the temperament of God. He was locked in the truth and got results of a 3.5 years drought. Not 3 days. His prayer hit so hard. It had so much power. It lasted over 3.5 years. Now, that is power at the post right there. That's coming because it came out of authentic faith. If you notice, James kept referring to having erred from the truth throughout the entire chapter. That's the problem we have. We think truth is scripture alone. But truth be told, truth is rhema that unlocks his character in us. Ooh, look at that. When you walk away from temperament, which that is the end of your faith, that's where the truthfulness of God is trying to get you to. When you walk away from temperament, you walk away from the real truth. You could still quote your scripture, but you're not in the truth. The truth is in you, but you're not in it. That is where the true power of God is. This is the true place of mountain moving faith. Now, I'm about to close. I gave you a mouthful again tonight, but again, we are on hyperspeed. We are going further and further into this post experience, and we're going to try to wrap things up. I'm not certain if the Lord allow me, try to wrap things up on Sunday, but God is really giving us some real good balancing here again. The word, the name Elijah means this. This is how you know he was in the temperament of the Lord. His name means my God is Jehovah. All right. My God is Jehovah. So every time someone called Elijah, there was a manifestation of his God, Jehovah, coming to him. That's what happens. You, whatever your name means is what really will manifest on your life. That's why the Lord changed names when he got to certain ones, like Peter and Simon. He called him Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, I'll call you Peter, Cephas, piece of the rock, because those things have meaning. So Elijah being called, my God is Jehovah. Then I said, okay, then what is Jehovah? And watch this. This is why you know he prayed from an earnest place, because he knew the God. And it, because of that, being called Elijah, it caused him to know Jehovah. And Jehovah, it means to be. It means become. I like these two next ones. Come to pass. He knew the God that could bring it to pass. He knew him intimately. He knew Omega. He knew results. This tells me that Elijah's earnesty, meaning he had a position. He had a position in God. I believe it was Elijah that was taken without ever dying. The theologian suggests, and some people believe, he's one of the two witnesses coming back. He knew God in a different way. Though he lived in the time of the law, man, he was so far beyond the law, wasn't even funny. But he knew the God that could bring it to pass, or he knew the God that would cause it to exist. Another definition means happen. He knew the God that could make it happen. He knew him. He knew results. Only way you find results is being able to be at that post and being in the temperament of the Lord. So now Elijah understood God the way that God is trying to get us to understand him. Elijah never walked in his own opinion. Only when he was running from time to time. And he was overwhelmed from time to time. But this man lived in the temperament of God. In fact, they called him, I believe it was Elijah, the troubler of Israel. Because he always had a judgment word in his mouth. Yeah. So this man knew him the way that God is saying, I want you guys to know me. I want you to know me. I want you to wear my temperament. I want you to discover power here. There's power in my temperament. There's power at this post. And I need for you to see it. I need for you to touch it, handle it, experience it. Let it become your lifeline, your supply.
Yes, God.
Let it become how you live and breathe, how you really do succeed. I've given it to you. It's waiting on you. It's right now available. There's power at the post. So my last Holy Ghost note is about Elijah. He knew Jehovah. He knew the God who could bring it to pass. He knew the God that could and would make it happen. The reason he knew the one true God like this is because he found the place at the post. His earnest prayer carved out a place. He found God's temperament. He found authentic faith, and he lived in it. He lived in it. He really did. Come on, that man was taken up. I believe it was Elijah, if my theology is right. He was taken up in a chariot of fire into heaven. Come on. What kind of relationship did he have with God to be taken like that? Enoch was the only other one that I've read about that walked and was not, because God translated him. And it was because of the righteousness Enoch had. And if we understand, if there's righteousness there, there's authentic faith there too. These two are taken up like that.
Man.
How in the world do you explain this? We are saved by grace through faith. That's how we're getting out of here. And by wearing this authentic faith coat, the temperament of the Lord. Grace is trying to lead us there. And there's power here. There's power here. That's all I got for you tonight. We'll hit hyperspeed again on Sunday. What'd you say now?
Say amen, God.
Amen. Amen. We'll hit hyperspeed again on Sunday, and we'll get even more calibrated, and we'll get more strength added to this. But this is our life. This is the way we're going. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Father, I give you glory for your word. I thank you. I give you my laudation of hallelujah for what you've given us and what you've taught us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful. This has been my prayer for a minute now, because I believe it's your prayer for us, that we're mindful of where we are when we're in the temperament. We're mindful of how we can shift and change situations, and how we can speak with authority, with power, and see the God of Omega bring results. Salvation will come. Success will come. Healing will be made manifest. It's here that we find, Lord God, the life of faith. And you said this is what we shall live by. Please help us to be mindful. Help us to discern your temperament and understand all of the wonderful benefits that come as a result of it being on us. I'm asking you, Father, please, please prune away the things that block this understanding. Yes. Take them away from us. Husbandmen, prune every branch that is not bearing this fruit, that won't be able to house this knowledge. But you have the ability to cut away the things, burn away the dross, whatever. Let the refiner's fire be set that we don't lose this in the haze of anything that's not truthfulness.
Yes, God.
I pray in the name of Jesus, Father. Yes. I pray in the posture you've given. And so therefore, I thank you also, because I know the return that comes from praying from here. I understand what's going to take place. And so I can honestly and authentically and genuinely say thank you, Father, for hearing me and for causing it to be so. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In Jesus, your precious name.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that's it for tonight, guys. I'll be back on